Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to The Drive. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And, well, Matt, we haven't done a show since Monday.
Which seems like an eternity in free agent years.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Probably should do shows every day.
This week we probably should.
Yeah. I mean,
there's so much so around much the happening. League that we haven't even touched on yet.
Yeah.
You know, even around the division we haven't touched on that, you know, obviously a two-day stretch. There's a lot of Steeler news, first and foremost.
Yeah. So,
right.
But that's not our call. We just do what we're told.
There we go. Yeah.
After Monday's show,
yes.
On Tuesday, we get word that the Steelers have made a there's reports out there that they have signed Patrick Queen.
Yes, it's just.
Oh, and by the way, happy new league year.
Yeah, we should be blowing whistles and the balls have dropped. Yeah, there you go. And kiss your spouse, the ball drop, do a dance, and have some champagne. Yeah. We should have brought a bottle of champagne.
We should have brought
new league year, 4 o'clock. Boom, there we go.
Usual Diet Coke here.
I got coffee. But it's about the same.
Not the same. But yeah,
so things are official soon. Yeah. You know, like all these teams will give us official word in the coming hours. I would say, right? Exactly how that works.
Yeah, I mean, they got to start filing paperwork
at this point,
and this is why Mike Williams was released earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to be under the salary cap.
They were.
As of 4 o'clock today.
Chargers were a disaster. I mean, there was a couple, like, the Ravens were like $500,000 under. They just restructured Stanley and boom, they're fine. They were $25 million under as of this morning.
So the Chargers still, they've made some agreements. They've come to agreements with some players.
Yes.
The Mike Williams deal only got them to the cap level.
Oh, yeah, they're still
to actually sign tight. The guys that they've agreed to terms with, they're going to have to make additional moves.
Right, like Bosa and Allen aren't out of the woods yet. I guess they restructured Mac apparently in a massive way because he was like a $40 million cap hit. You don't know the details of that. You just see restructures at this point. But you can look into it, you know, coming up here. So, no, Mike Williams, it looks like he's on the part of the free agent parade here, too.
Yeah, but the Steelers have reportedly signed Patrick Queen.
Mm-hmm.
They have... And then last night traded,
yeah,
reportedly, and you know, Deontay Johnson and a 2024 seventh round draft pick
mm-hmm.
for to the Carolina Panthers for Dante Jackson, cornerback, and a sixth round 2024 draft pick.
First off, I got probably 12 tweets going, that's a Matt and Dale move in the mock draft. Dump that seventh rounder and get up there and better radio. And you know, like, yeah, it is
70 man. Picks that they picked
up. It's a big jump.
I mean, it's basically two. They moved up two rounds, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, mid to late seventh up to early five, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Panthers pick's terrible. And that's not nothing, by the way. I mean, especially this year, because the back of the draft is so bad. I mean, there's very few... juniors that declared that seventh round pick is worth less than it usually is. And I still think the fifth neighborhood or where they moved up to is still pretty rich, you know. So that's almost like adding one more pick, you know, and one more reasonable pick. So that's not nothing.
Yeah. But they've created a hole at wide receiver.
Yeah.
If you look at what they finished the season with at wide receiver last year, the only guys they have back right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are Calvin Austin
and George
Pickens.
That's it. The
five that you basically played most of last season with.
Right, exactly. And some teams keep six, and, you know, obviously.
Some teams keep seven.
Some teams keep seven. So, to me, there's two gaping holes at receiver now. And even if Allen Robinson was back, I think they needed a third.
Yeah.
And Deontay was back, you know. So, I think you need your two and your three. Now, there's a lot of options. I doubt that they'll have two under contract if we get together a week from now. You know, I'm sure something will happen probably quite soon because of the – not desperate because I just think that they had a part two in mind of this trade when we do this and then we're going to do part two, which I don't know what it is, but I have some thoughts on it, you know, some suggestions or whatever. They did pick up a little bit of cap space in the move as well, and I think they can pick up more shuffling around – Jackson's money a little bit. I don't think they eliminate. They're done at corner, though. You know, like
no, they still have needs here.
So I felt like the hole they created on paper in the depth chart by trading Johnson was greater than the hole they filled with Jackson.
But there are more moves. They're not done.
They're not done at all. Right. So there's going to be. They have a lot of cap space, and I think what this comes down to me. Is I would rather be shopping in the wide receiver market, even if it's for two of them, than the cornerback market for one and a half of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And basically what that comes down to, yes, it's a good corner draft. And I think the Steelers will still draft one. I don't think they will spend any more money on a corner. And, whew, because that's an awful group right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the corner, maybe they'll get somebody at camp or whatever. But
this was the group coming in. Yeah, Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, he wasn't going anywhere.
Never made it. Legarius Sneed. It's going to cost you a gajillion dollars in draft picks.
Right.
Not going to happen. Kendall Fuller is still out there.
But he's older. Yeah. And I don't think he's special. And he's probably getting more than he should get to begin with, too.
Awuzie is already signed.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Gilmore, again, 33 years old.
Yeah.
I don't want to shop in that
market. You kind of just did that last year with Peterson.
Steven Nelson, he's 32.
I don't think he's coming back here, too, and he's older, right?
He's older.
None of those names I like.
He's number six on them. This is looking at Pro Football Focus's list. He's number six on the list.
And that's before free agents even opened,
Kenny Moore I would be interested in, but he's a slot.
He resigned, too, and he's a
slot. He's 29.
Yeah. I don't know if he was ever leaving Indy either.
You interested in Adoree Jackson? Because he's eighth on this list.
Right. It's a terrible place to shop.
Yeah.
Again,
Keyshawn Nixon is nine. He's a return guy.
I mean, there's 10 receivers that I would take over those guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't love all of them. I mean, Odell's one of them. I mean, I thought we said this 1,000 times that he was, signed to too much money a year ago, but at the right price, I could bring him in. I'm not big on Tyler Boyd.
I've got no interest whatsoever in Odell Beckham.
I agree with you, too. He's like last on my list.
Utter distraction.
Yeah, he could be.
Just a complete distraction.
But again, there's 10 receivers out there that'll be starters or borderline starters that aren't insanely expensive.
No.
I mean, again, it's just a better market to shop.
And you can overdraft. This draft is ridiculously deep in some of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I still think they'll draft a receiver and a corner.
Yeah.
Both pretty high, probably.
Yeah, just a matter of how those dominoes fall now.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that has happened here in the last few days is that unless you're ready to get into the market for Connor Williams, who is hurt.
He's hurt.
And it's probably going to be a little more expensive than what you want to pay for somebody who's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You probably draft him one.
Centers got scooped up really quick, and guards got overpaid extremely quick.
I could argue that the centers did, too.
I agree. I was going to lump them together as this interior line outkicked their coverage in terms of what they're making. And with all the running back moves, I think the league is telling us running games still matter. If you're going to play a ton of too high and take away the big plays, well, I mean, everyone talks about what a genius Sean McVay is, and I think he's a great offensive mind. But he just spent huge money on two guards, even though he had a really good young guard in Steve Avila, who they're going to move into center, and now they have like 1,100 pounds of interior O-line, and they're just going to mash your face when you go too high. You know?
But wait, I heard some bozos out there, and I'm going to call them bozos, in the Pittsburgh media saying, the Steelers are setting themselves up to play football like it's 2000, in two. Because they went out and paid a bunch of money for an inside linebacker.
Right.
Reportedly. They're going to try to lean on their running game. This isn't 2002. Yeah, it is. This is what the league is morphing back into. Yes, it's nice to be able to throw the football if you have Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, the league
but
is
not
zigging
everybody
while,
does.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of zigging and zagging throughout the league all through history. If everyone's taking away the big play and playing nickel and dime, I want to run the ball. And also, to your point, if you're going to start 69 quarterbacks a year, I need to make life easier on quarterback number 60 through 69, let alone 20 through 69.
Well, if you have big play receivers,
mm-hmm.
which the two receivers that the Steelers still have on their roster.
Oh, yeah, they're going to throw the ball down the field.
Would qualify as big play receivers.
No doubt. And their quarterback's a very deep, very good deep passer.
And if you can run the football, mm-hmm. you make defenses make a choice. Are you going to let them run the football, or are you going to give up the deep play to George Pickens?
And I don't know who you're referring to, nor do I care, but signing an off-the-ball linebacker to big money is anything but a 1985 move. I mean,
they do. They cover.
They're hard to find. Yeah. There's a shortage of them. Every down guys that cover space, that do all the things the Queen does, there aren't many of them on the planet. I mean, it's they've been looking for that guy since Shazier.
Now, to be fair, I mean, he did get better last year after they made the trade.
100%. Year and a half now.
Yeah.
I mean, they traded for him midway through the 2021. But
I also, so I looked this 22. Up. Again, he's 24 years old.
He's not even 25 yet.
He's the same age that Ryan Shazier, like, so Ryan Shazier is a 24-year-old, made his first Pro Bowl.
Okay.
Patrick Queen is a 24-year-old, made his first Pro Bowl.
He was a second-team All-Pro last year.
Second-team All-Pro.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both 6'1". They're both 230 pounds.
Probably tested about the same.
They tested
combine.
About the same.
Mid first-round yeah. picks. Right, right.
I can remember people in Shazier's, definitely his second year. Maybe not so much his first year because he made some splash plays.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Second year, it was kind of like, oh, he didn't take that big step forward that everybody thought. Third year, he makes
then
the Pro
Bowl. Then
the
light goes on.
Yeah, the light came on. Yeah. So maybe
and that's
it just,
so common at that position.
Yeah. You know, maybe you could look at it and say, well, Roquan Smith really helped him. Or you could look at it and say, well, he's going into his fifth year in the league now. Maybe the light has come on.
Yeah.
It takes time at that position.
100%. Especially as young as he is. You know, I mean, he's like Tremaine Edmonds young. The same thing happened to him with the Bills.
By the way, Edmonds got $18
million. He got 18. And that's what I thought. I was certain Queen would be
that's
right
why I didn't even
neighbor.
Entertain
that's
the
why
idea.
We brushed it off. Yeah. Like, oh, no, they can't do
not
that.
Not going to afford that.
No. And at this price, it's a totally different conversation. So there's two ways of looking at that to me is, okay, Roquan shows up. He's, by the way, Roquan was the same way. His first year and a half or so,
awful.
He was all over the place too. I mean, yes, he makes splash plays because he's the best athlete out there. But he shows up in his prime and they pay him. Great. It's a good move for the Ravens. And coincidentally or not, Queen for that year and a half that he played with Roquan became a second team Pro Bowl player.
Yeah.
Now, I think there's two sides to it. From what I understand, Queen will not be the green dot guy, get everyone aligned type player. So they took that away from him, and Roquan did those things. He didn't say, hey, Patrick, you cover him, you know, like
right.
he's a two-year-old, but he took that stuff away from him. Roberts can do that. Holcomb can do that. Minka can do that. So I don't really – that doesn't worry me so much. I think having Roquan there obviously helps. I think there's a better chance that he's hitting his stride as a player and as a human at age 24 or 25, whether Roquan was there or not, because it's not – I'm not using Highsmith in a negative manner here, but it's not like Watt's on the other side getting double-teamed all the time, so Highsmith's going to get fewer.
Yeah.
They're middle linebackers.
Well, not according to the double-team stats on
– No, which are so bizarre. It's not Alvin Harper to Michael Irvin,
no.
you know, where yeah. one guy's rolling coverage this way. These are off-the-ball, middle-of-the-field players. It's not like Roquan's taking on double teams every time.
No. One of the things that we both would have agreed on that the Steelers needed to do defensively going into this process was that they needed to get faster.
They've
gotten faster.
Yeah, no doubt. Back seven speed would have been a problem, without question. Yeah,
Jackson.
He's a track guy.
He ran a 4.32 at the combine, then ran a 4.31 just because he wanted to break fourth. He wanted to get into the 4.2s.
Yeah,
thought he could do it, and he ran a 4.31 at LSU's pro day.
Okay,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There were two head coaches there that day.
Tomlin, one of them.
Tomlin was one of them.
Okay, gotcha. Adds up. No, I know they've had interest in him for some time.
Yeah.
And speed is not a problem. People ding him for durability. He had a Achilles and missed all or most of 2022.
He played, I think, 9 games.
Nine, okay. Yeah.
He's had multiple interceptions every season except for last year.
Other than that, he's missed like 2 games of his career.
Because nobody threw the ball against them last year. They gave up 170 passing yards per game last year at Carolina.
Because
they were so bad that you didn't have to throw the ball. You could run it against them, and they kept turning the ball over.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense. So he's an interesting player because he's smaller. He's originally, I thought, maybe he's a slot. You know, he's 180. Yeah. I remember him coming out super fast. I mean, those were all the things everyone knew about him. Second-round pick. But he's like 180 pounds. But he's an outside corner. Maybe he could dabble with slot, but he hasn't. I mean, he has played very few slots in the snap or in the slot. But they're a left-right cover three type of team, heavy zone team. Now, he's going to have to do more man stuff here, but he did a lot at LSU, and he did a lot early in his career. And he's had about 9,000 systems in Carolina, too, you know, which is important. Early in his career, I kind of looked at him more of a – track guy playing football. Now he throws his body around a lot. He's not a great tackler. He'll bounce off some people and come high too often at his size. But he's not bashful about it at all or bashful about attacking the ball in the air. So he's going to play. I mean, he's going to be, you know, in the mix without question.
Yeah, and, you know, gives you a starter opposite Joey Porter Jr. Now you still
maybe Trice and Rush blow them out the door. You know,
that could happen.
They're so good.
Yeah,
but
that could happen, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're not, you don't have to start one of those guys.
No. It's a typical, you can line up and play with him as your number two corner today. You know, right. That adds up 100%.
So what they still need is a slot.
Mm-hmm.
They have two safeties that they could line up with if they had to, but you'd like to.
Another D-back.
Another defensive back in that mix.
In the mix somewhere.
You know, you probably have one more safety that you're going to add and a slot cornerback that you're going to add.
In some way, shape, or form.
And then you draft it. Ideally, the slot that they get is somebody that they draft, and they can ease him. And you just say, "Hey, kid, you learn to play the slot, and then eventually, we're going to put you outside too."
Yeah, and I guess one of my next projects, and I think you're ahead of me on this, is there's some Steelers have those 2 4th rounds picks. Now they have what, 2 5ths?
Essentially,
it's the sixth pick
in the sixth round.
But anyway, I'm really concentrating on the 2 4ths. There's a handful of true slots that we haven't always jumped on in our mocks that are, you know, the Florida State kid, Penn State's got a dude, that are a little undersized, that are feisty,
or even
tough.
Like the Georgia safeties or something like that.
They're
slot guys.
Yeah, and I was going to say that too, is the safety you sign might be your big slot and you draft your little slot. You know, like that's what the Ravens did this last year. Millett was their smaller slot in some packages. Hamilton was their big slot in some packages. It's a good situation to be in.
Yeah, and, you know, those guys, again, to your point, that's where you get those 4th, 5th round guys.
Yeah, and they're dynamite on special teams. They're a gunner from day one. And if they're tough and feisty, 180 pounds, 5'9", run 4.48, that'll mix it up in the run game. There's 5 or 6 of them in that neighborhood that aren't
You'll
super
get
expensive.
One of them.
You'll get one of them.
Yeah.
Especially if you upgraded safety, too. You know, if you spend money on a safety. I'm not talking about, hey, Justin Simmons would be great. But, I mean, I'm even a Blackman still out there. Yeah. Guys like that. Quality safeties. Your secondary rounds in the
still out there.
I don't understand it either. Safeties have not been
good
scooped
player.
Up. Yeah. I just
maybe they all just wanted too much money. And now
it's happened a lot
of
years
lately. As this goes on, you're like, oh, I'm not going to get that kind of money.
Right. I mean, the first wave is basically over. I mean, it's almost bargain bin time. Not bargain bin time, but things are starting to go on sale.
The first markdown has come.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, unless
so
you're, you know,
you
I guess,
get a Blackman or somebody similar now.
Yeah. So I
think the secondary is 2 pieces away.
Yeah. You know, so you right now, as we sit here, you have needs at wide receiver.
2 needs there, I think. It's
well,
a double
that's why I said needs.
Yeah, I know. All right.
You have needs in the secondary.
Yes.
And you have a need at center.
Yeah.
Linebacker's taken care of.
I'd say you've done it, linebacker. I think
the answer
is yes. I mean, someone to challenge Mark Robinson in the 5th round, maybe.
I mean, you're talking about real investments.
Yeah.
That would, you know, again, that's why the beauty of having that pick move up 70 spots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can take that guy. The best player still on my board.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I had a 3rd round grade on this guy and he's still available in the 6th. I'll just take him.
He happens to be a linebacker or somebody in the secondary or a D-lineman.
Multiple positions.
Anywhere, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be a punter now.
Yeah.
You know, or a reach a quarterback that might not, probably doesn't make the team or things of that nature. No, that is a big deal. And our mock drafts will be better because of it.
We don't have to trade that last pick
anymore. Right.
It's gone.
I guess my only concern is just when do you get Holcomb back, if at all? You know, because if you knew that was sort of on the horizon,
let's say he starts camp on the pup.
Which I'm expecting, I would think.
And he misses the first 6 weeks. I'm just throwing this out. I don't know anything for
Nobody's
sure.
Nobody's said any of this.
But let's say he misses the first 6 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back.
That's the thing, right?
Like, you've got 2 starter-capable guys there now.
I mean, you could even sign
better than
someone.
What you ran out there last year for the second half of the season when it was Robertson,
anybody
pulled off the couch.
By far. Now it's a strength.
Now it's a strength.
Band-aids,
and
right.
Then you add Holcomb back into that mix.
Right.
Now you got something.
And even if he is going to miss 6 weeks or so, you could sign someone just like Alexander for $1 million a year in camp. You know, I mean, after the first preseason game. I mean, those guys are always out there. I mean,
so that becomes a strength now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you do the same thing at safety,
Yeah.
That becomes like
if you get a Blackman or somebody like that, I mean, your defense is really rounded.
Your defense up the middle is
night and day different than it used to be.
Way better.
It's a positive, not a negative.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be Minka and the Pips.
And you've got now a cornerback who, again, if he had been a free agent.
That's a good point.
Is probably already gone. He's probably already signed with somebody.
I think he's like in the Awuzie level.
Yeah.
I mean,
he got $8 or $9 million, and you don't get him.
You don't get him. Right. There were rumors they were going to cut him, but then you got to compete with everybody else.
Right.
I mean, so
you made sure that you got the guy.
Restructure him up and, you know, get him all trained up in what you want to do. These are minor moves, but I'd still like to see Watts brought back, Golden. They can happen a week from now.
Those guys are sitting out there.
You can get someone very similar.
Absolutely.
You know? But your defense is pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close. And you got a lot of draft picks ahead of you.
Absolutely. Let's get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And Matt, some of the moves from around the league that we kind of knew were happening.
Yeah, they're official now.
They're starting
right?
to become official now. So the 49ers have officially released Eric Armstead.
Yeah, he's going to be sought after. And you could convince me he wouldn't look bad in black and gold either. But there's going to be competition for that guy.
He would be expensive. A really good player, that would be a big ticket item.
There'd be a big ticket item. Yeah. There's a couple of these that are going to be big ticket items, which are kind of fun.
The Dolphins officially released Xavien Howard, but they did so with a failed physical designation. So that makes things a little more interesting.
Okay.
Like, he failed his physical. Now he's got to pass the physical. Like, any team that brings him in, you're going to put him – you played in the league as long as he has. You're going to have some stuff.
Well, he's had a handful of big things, I think, too.
Now any team that looks at him, you know, somebody might have said, well, you know, the Steelers could have just waited and signed Xavien Howard. Well,
if he's not healthy.
Right.
Yeah. And we didn't add him in the free agent corner list because he's new.
Yeah.
I don't love it either. No. I always thought he was a little overrated. Like, sure, if they got him at the right price, like anything, he'd be a great addition. He's a starting player. He takes football away. But he's not super athletic, and he's lost a step.
Yeah. We mentioned Mike Williams being released.
That one has
I would be
excited.
Interested in Mike Williams at the right price.
Oh, he's hurt all the time. Not as much as you think.
Yeah.
I mean, him and Pickens running go routes for Wilson throwing bombs. Yeah. He'll block. He's feisty. He's huge.
He goes up and gets the football.
I think this is the cheapest you could ever get him in his career.
Yeah. I don't know what the price tag would be. It's probably upwards of $10 million a year.
I would say 10-ish. You know, right. He might be on a 10-year prove-it deal or a 2-year 23-ish deal, something like that. I don't know. I mean, Ridley's supposedly asking 20, which he won't get.
You're not going to,
He's probably top of the market now. I think he ends up settling at 16, 15, something like that.
He might get more. Who knows?
Maybe a little more, yeah.
You got two teams bidding for you. That's all
New
it
England's
takes.
Got a lot. You know, they're right in it, and they got a lot to spend.
Yeah.
Jacksonville doesn't.
The Raiders released Hunter Henry.
Hunter Renfrow, I should say. He's interesting, too.
Money Renfrow.
Yeah, he got the short end of the stick there only because he signed too big a deal.
Yeah.
They liked him too much, the last regime. Like, I prefer him to Boyd.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to me, they're both slots that are sort of similar in how you would use them. I think Renfrow's the
better
player.
Renfrow is open all the time.
All the time. He runs better, and he's quicker than Boyd.
He's younger.
We just haven't seen much from him lately,
That's not a bad thing, though, because he's pretty fresh.
No, he'd be a really good addition.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, if you're able, I don't care how you add the big receiver on the outside, on the other side of Pickens.
There's a lot of them in the draft. Yeah. Right.
You know, now you've got
a nice basketball team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I also think, side note, Freiermuth's role is set to grow exponentially.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exponentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the tight ends are going to be very happy.
Yeah, I agree.
So, looking at the division, earlier today, the Ravens shipped off Morgan Moses to the Jets.
That move coming. Right.
Good
for the Jets are actually getting legit linemen.
Baltimore's offensive line's an issue.
It's a real problem.
They've already lost John Simpson.
Right. Starting left guard. He was the guard. Yep.
Now they've traded Moses.
Starting right tackle.
Zeitler's still a free agent.
I guess they could bring him back, but he's older and declining rapidly. Linderbaum's going to return at center, who's, I think, on the cusp of stardom.
Right.
Stanley used to be a star. He's a left tackle.
They got him to restructure.
I thought he might be a cut.
That's probably what was going to happen if he didn't restructure.
Because
he's not that kind of player anymore.
No. I mean, that's just an unfortunate set of circumstances. Yeah. He got hurt the day after they signed him, basically.
But he's, at this point in his career,
not an upper-tier player.
Average to an average left tackle.
They use him in a rotation. He doesn't even play every snap. I mean, like, that's
I don't know if he can.
I don't know that he can either. McCarrie's a valuable guy for them because he can play every position, but he's really a six guy, you know, but he's going to probably end up being a starter somewhere. We laugh at Falele, but right now he's a starting right tackle.
He stinks.
Because he's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on the ground all the time. T.J. Watt would love him to be the starting right tackle. So they kind of have like one and a half dudes, you know, one and two halves.
Yeah. But whenever, when you know, they go out and they sign Derrick Henry, which has been their only signing thus far.
Yeah,
only outside, and they've lost like eight guys.
Mm-hmm. We knew they were going to hit hard, but
one of the things that was said, he's going to run behind that great Ravens offensive line. Is it great?
I mean, it might be better than the Titans last year, which was the worst in the league, but it's not what it was even a year ago.
No, it's. I don't know. It's going to be a real good offensive line, and
yeah, I wouldn't want to be shopping for free agent O-linemen right now either.
No, that the prices those guys have been getting,
it'll start to come down a little, but still.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Did you see the thing today? The former Tyler Eifert apparently on a podcast.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he was going to come back.
But he said on the podcast, don't be surprised if Cincinnati makes a play to go get Justin Jefferson.
Wow. I mean, I read three headlines this morning. We're not interested in trading Justin Jefferson, which probably means you're interested in trading Justin Jefferson. I mean, what would that entail?
I would guess T. Higgins would be involved in the deal.
I would think. Or he goes to Carolina or something. Yeah. I mean, you don't have all three of them. He's going to make 33.
Right.
And Chase is going to want the exact same contract a year from now.
But if you want
to, scary as could be.
Yeah, if you wanted to go for it for 1 year say, hey, we are all in on going for it this year.
Yeah.
Because there's no way we're going to afford all three of these guys moving forward.
I would assume not.
But
they at least signed some tight ends. Gesicki's was one of them, what I thought.
That's another receiver.
That's their slot, really. I think Boyd's going to be back. They haven't touched right tackle, but Jonah Williams has gotten no interest from what I've seen either. Mixon's gone. Signed Moss to be his replacement, which is fine, whatever. I had not seen that about Jefferson, but if Higgin wants to trade, I didn't think it'd be an upgrade. You know, I don't know how you fit that.
Would Higgins and Cincinnati's one do it for you if you're the Vikings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty close.
It's like 16, right? Or 16 or 17 where the Bengals are picking.
Vikes need to find a quarterback somehow. They were really aggressive in free agency, and I don't think they were as excited to bring Cousins
back as
others.
If they had 16 in their pick, they might be able to get to trade up.
Three?
Definitely
get to the McCarthy neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I could see it. I could see it. I mean, go with Addison and Higgins and Hawkinson and good O-line, and Aaron Jones is a nice pickup for them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't lose much.
No, other than not having...
But not Cousins.
And you wouldn't have the headache of, hey, we got to re-sign Jefferson. And does Jefferson want to re-sign here without Cousins and, you know, and our quarterback's up in the air?
As awesome as he is, I don't know that he's a $33 million a year player. I mean, I think he's probably the best receiver in the league. But if my quarterback's a rookie, I don't. That's a tough one. That's interesting. I just don't know how the Bengals could swing it. Because Chase is only 1 year behind him. I mean, you don't make that move and then just let Chase walk the next year. I think you give those guys the same contract. They're buddies from LSU, blah, blah, blah.
You're going to be spending...
Three guys would be your whole payroll.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could do anything else this offseason, but that would certainly make it interesting.
It would. Found it interesting they signed a safety. They were not happy with their guys. Yeah. There's been some talk they might move Dax Hill to corner, which maybe that's what he is, you know. They've done nothing in the Reader world. He's still out there. They have money to spend, though. I mean... I don't want to talk out two sides of my mouth. I mean, people call the Bengals cheap, but I think they've been more frugal than cheap lately.
Yeah.
And didn't want to get in the tidal wave. I bet I could see them in the next day or two making some moves. We go, that was a nice pickup. It was a pretty good price for that guy.
Yeah. The Raiders also announcing the release of Jimmy Garoppolo. So
yeah, yeah.
Another guy.
Him and Renfro, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's two dudes.
Maybe he winds up in Minnesota.
Yeah. Sam Darnold's a Vike, which I'm kind of interested in.
But you could still use another guy.
Yeah. So here's a weird thing with Jimmy. Like, I think he is the perfect bridge for a rookie, but he suspended the first two games.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be so much better if he was suspended the last four games. You know, like, we need you at the beginning of the year to hold down the fort for Drake May or somebody like that, and you're out. I mean, so that hurts his situation. But he's such a good locker room guy. I think he'll get scooped up soon. Maybe he's like the Bears guy backup or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, you maybe.
Know, just a good influence. I don't know. There's a lot of landing spots for him. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of landing spots for Fields.
It does not. That seems to be.
I don't know who would even be in the market. I mean, I'm hearing things like Seattle's backup, the Eagles' backup, you know, like.
But nobody's trading you anything of note for somebody who's your backup.
Right. I think you hold on to them.
And you might as well.
If I'm Seattle, I'd rather roll the dice on getting Penix in the second round or something, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Especially with the Patriots signing Brissett, they're going to be out of it.
Yeah, that was one that, to me, just didn't make sense for the Steelers.
Mm-mm.
Not with what you potentially would have had to give up and then have to pay him on top of that.
The impression I got with Fields is if it were 2 years ago and you got him for $4 million and $5
million, yeah,
sure.
That's a different conversation.
And earlier I thought, you know, $28 million for him for 2 years isn't that bad. But I think the league has told us that no one wants to pick up his fifth-year option.
Right.
Because it's a one-year deal then, and then it's –
You're not going to give up
then
a
it's a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, you're not giving up a day one or two pick.
Right. And
for
you're
a
no
one-year
spending
potential one-year rental.
Now, I think that's what the league's saying. Or if they were all like, we're going to take up his option, then he'd have gotten traded by now.
Yeah.
So
looking at this, and there'll be more moves to come, but the Steelers have made
their
big splashes thus far.
Mm-hmm.
How would you grade these moves out thus far?
I know we have a lot of listeners that remember things we said.
Yes.
And we weren't super into Wilson. We brushed off Queen. And we thought Deontay's trade was a bad idea.
Of all those things,
yeah.
To me, giving up Deontay Johnson...
is the ones I have to question the most
Point. Because you actually had to give something up.
Right.
To get, I get it.
And I'm certain he's good.
Yeah, I know what he is. Mm-hmm. I know he's a good football player. Jackson is fine. Again, you probably wouldn't have gotten better than that on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like opening up that hole.
Right. I think Johnson's better than what he does than what Jackson does, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And is worth more in a entry draft right now or what they're going to get per year. Like Carolina's going to extend him. I think it's a really good deal for the Panthers, frankly, which is a compliment to Deontay. But Wilson, for what you're paying him?
Yeah.
And... the veteran and the other quarterbacks available, I don't have a problem with today. And it's not like I changed my tune on him all that much. And frankly...
Well, even when we talked about him, like, look, I see both sides of
this. Yeah.
You know,
they're two very obvious.
The monetarily, in terms of, would I want to pay Russell Wilson $35 million a year? Would I want to pay Russell Wilson the Baker Mayfield contract?
I would not do
that. No, I wouldn't want to do that.
I wouldn't do that.
Would I want to?
Maybe a year from now I will.
Yeah.
I mean, if he lights the world on fire,
I'll know much more about him.
Right now,
point.
I wouldn't even consider it.
But
I want him to throw to the middle of the field more than he has, too.
At know? No cost? Okay.
You can cut him in camp.
Yeah.
I mean, really good. I mean, if he's a disaster, you don't even have to bring him to opening day. And the Queen thing wasn't because we didn't think he was good.
I just didn't think he'd be 18. I didn't think he'd be available to him at that price.
Right. So...
I thought at 18, he's probably overpaid.
So I think I would rank those three moves. Queen's my favorite. Wilson's my second. Johnson trades my third.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do believe maybe as soon as our next visit on Friday, the Johnson thing might
sense. Something will have happened that makes it.
Either if it's just cap space created contractually or Mike Williams is all of a sudden in town or whatever it is. I think that will make more sense. In a day or two.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You don't make that trade without another move.
Like, oh, now we need two receivers. You know, like, there's another shoe to drop.
Because you're not drafting two receivers and saying, oh, we got to play them both.
No, right. I mean, you'd like a leader in that room and somebody that's been around the block, and how young do you want to be on offense? I think you're excited now to draft a receiver. I mean, because there are so many good ones.
Yeah.
But. Your center need didn't go away. Love to take advantage of this tackle market. I still think you need to draft a corner. So you can't have them all in round one, you know, and I don't think corner's in the round one discussion anymore. I think that's more of a third, fourth type of situation.
Yeah, I think you can choose to be a little more prudent.
Yeah, and if you sign the right receiver, even a third-round receiver I could live with, you know, in addition to.
Yeah, looking at some of the guys still available at the receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Calvin Ridley is there.
He's the jewel, I think. From what I understand, he has an inflated value of himself, and it's come down to the Jags, who don't have any money, and the Patriots that nobody wants to go to. But he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's better than his fantasy numbers implied last year in Jacksonville. I can promise you that.
Which doesn't speak well for what they did last year in Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence in particular.
Their whole offensive scheme was brutal.
Yeah.
I thought they made life really hard on Lawrence. And so I don't think Ridley returns there, but maybe he does. If it goes another day or two, I'd at least put a call in.
Yeah.
He's a little older than you think, too, by the way, folks. And he's been suspended.
You also have to look at adding, you know, we mentioned Hunter Renfrow now back out there in mm-hmm. addition to Mike Williams.
Williams would be my first or second choice.
Yeah, Marquise Brown is there. I don't know that Marquise Brown fits what they want to do in terms of...
I think blocking is one of the reasons Deontay's not here.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you.
And Marquise Brown's not going to do that for you.
No. He's been rumored that the Chiefs are interested as we speak. That seems like the perfect marriage to me for what both guys could get. I still think Marquise is a very good player and would be a welcome addition to any team. I just don't know my number on him.
Yeah. You mentioned Odell Beckham. He's there. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Curtis Samuel?
He was originally, you know, like projected to get 8 or 9. I didn't love that.
Yeah.
6 or 7? He makes plays.
He makes plays.
He needs to stay on the field.
Yeah. Talked about Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
Josh Reynolds.
That one I like too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's a downfield tough guy. He's skinnier than a Williams or a Pickens or those type of dudes. But I think he's a better player than given credit for. So I would have some interest in that. And a second round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
KJ Osborne.
Maybe. He's a lot like Westbrook Akine to me.
Yeah.
They're tough guys, their size. They would be their third or fourth, ideally your fourth.
They still have Noah Brown listed as being out here. I thought he signed.
I think he resigned.
Yeah.
Or went somewhere. I don't think he's available.
And DJ Chark.
I want nothing to do with DJ Chark.
No, I don't want DJ Chark either. But he would be another LSU guy that you would be adding to
the equation. Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's tall and fast, so he has that to him. I just think his name values. I mean, at the right price, I'll take any of them. But
right.
At his name value is better than the player. He's very inconsistent.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a one-trick pony, too.
Yeah. Just looking.
I was thinking there's another name or two out there.
I'm looking for a more updated list here. Let's see. The tracker. I got the tracker up. Boy, there's a lot of contracts signed here.
It's insane, yeah.
How about the running backs, by the way? I counted a lot. This was as of last night.
All the movement.
The position in which the most movement had taken place
has to be running
was
back.
Running back.
Yeah.
16 moves in the first 2 days.
Which tells us I think the running back class stinks coming up.
It was kind of my feeling about it, too. But
yeah, yeah.
It also tends to lean against what everybody said. Well, running backs, they don't matter. Well, teams aren't telling us
totally
that.
Different. Yeah. Right. It goes back to our conversation of if we're going to run the ball more against too high and dime, I want better ball carriers. And I also wonder, some of them is just shuffling chairs on the deck, you know, like Green Bay swapped one out for another, you know, like did they value them more? They got a little younger, you know. But one of the most telling things to me, though, was maybe the most analytically inclined front office in the league is the Philadelphia Eagles, folks. And a lot of people, like Steelers, aren't analytically enough inclined. They just signed the best back in the market.
Yeah.
You know, like
to big money.
To big money. And I'm sure that they will treat him, quote, as a weapon like the Niners do with McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll give him 30 carries a game and run him into the ground. But these weapons, you know, I was critical of the Lions for taking Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round. Like, that's just not enough value. You can find running backs that are cheaper. Not if you're a weapon. You know, if you change the game in all facets, you're valuable.
I'm just looking here at some of the other wide receivers still available. some guys we didn't mention here. Michael Thomas is there. I don't have no interest there.
I don't think.
Cedric Wilson's still out there. Jamal Agnew.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to trade for T. Higgins. No, I'm just trying to think of any trade candidates, too. Mooney just got scooped up, which it doesn't break my heart.
Laviska Shenault. I'm going to take a shot there.
At league minimum.
Yeah.
Trickster guy. I mean, he wouldn't. I'd still think you'd need two more.
You got Van Jefferson there. Another.
He's
down
another
the field.
One. Yeah. Another kind of like guy. Some things he did, and they're young.
I mentioned Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard is there. He's always hurt.
I say your doctors would have to like him. Yeah, he's on the field. He's good.
Oh, he's been. Yeah, he's been great when he plays.
Weird career.
Jamison Crowder, kind of the same thing. When he's played, he's been fine.
Shepard's more dynamic, at least, when on their best days. I'd rather do Renfro or even Boyd, probably, over
mentioned KJ Osborne.
Osborne and Westbrook-Ikhine are nice consolation prize, not difference makers, but if they're your fourth and you draft one high, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're valuable contributors.
Donovan Peoples-Jones.
He'd be in that mold,
still just
too.
25.
Yeah, he'd still be in that mold, too.
Big-bodied
I think he plays
receiver.
Some special teams, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got
I know what's his face.
You want pure speed in the slot, Quez Watkins.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Well, these guys will be out there a week from now.
Yeah, I mean that's basically what you're looking at here. And
I just think they probably have a plan in place. There's something in the works. I mean, you can't go this barren at that position with just two guys.
Not in today's NFL.
No.
Like,
I mean, it's getting late in the process for that, you know.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with the remainder, with the rest of that. But something's going to happen. We're going to get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this. Steeler fans, you can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from the team. At one of the official Steelers Pro Shops, they're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or you can visit online at shop.steelers.com.
New jersey's going to be available somewhat soon here, yeah?
Did you see the video, by the way, of Russell Wilson put out a video of him
opening up
his new Steelers number 3 jersey. So it's official. He's going to wear number
Steeler,
3.
Right. Yep, yep. I didn't know that it happened, though.
I can't remember any 3s for the Steelers. That
I remember them. I wanted them to draft Philip Rivers and give him a 3. 3 Rivers, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's
interesting. Yeah, but the Ben thing worked out all right.
I guess Jeff Reeb wore 3. There we go. That's okay. I'm not good with those things.
You're better than me.
Like, there are people out there that say, the
greatest 3 of all time or whatever.
Yeah, that's never.
Not a common number.
Yeah.
No quarterbacks, I remember.
Landry Jones.
Okay. Did he switch?
No, I think Landry did wear 3 the entire time.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess Brad Wing wore 3 last year.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But
wouldn't have got that.
The first number 3 in Steelers history was the great Maury Bray. Do you remember him?
I do not.
That was 1935.
Okay. Good player?
I don't know what he did and where he played. And then,
what if their numbering back then was like, you get 1, you get 2, you get 3, you get 4, just whenever you show up, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Bill Dudley.
Oh.
Wore 3 in 1942.
I know they don't retire numbers, but, I mean, it's a retirable number.
He was kind of a big deal. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
I mentioned you have Landry Jones, Chris Brown wore 3.
Not bad.
So Jeff Reed, Mark Royals wore 3. I didn't remember that one.
No, I wouldn't have got that one either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got any of these.
And Ron Stark. So it's been largely
a lot of punters.
Punters and kickers.
Of course.
Worn 3, but you know, they'll be the quarterback now wearing that number 3.
Nice.
For the Steelers.
Okay. Yeah, I bet they sell some of those jerseys.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that more and more. And it's not just because I'm, you know, going back on my thoughts on the guy, it's just a proud athlete that had his ego knocked down a little bit, I think is a scary thing. You know, like back a wounded animal into a corner type situation. He may not be a good player. I don't know. I mean, the game may have passed him by, or he might rebound nicely. And
well,
I think he fits the system
pretty
well.
Here's the difference for me is, you know, when Denver trades for him, Denver, which hasn't made the playoffs since 2015.
Correct.
You want to talk about this? Well, the Steelers haven't won a playoff game.
Yeah.
They haven't made the playoffs since 2015.
Denver's not thought of in that light nearly enough.
No, and Denver, by the way, for a long, long time, is one of the premier AFC franchises.
Oh, Elway to Manning. Yeah. And, oh, yeah, yeah. They go to Super Bowls and win divisions and, right,
yeah,
tough place to play.
So they've gone now a decade without making the playoffs. I think that they realized Peyton came in, gave it a year, and said, you know what? Our team isn't good enough.
Well, they don't fit Peyton's system at all.
Right.
I mean, he is the most timing and rhythm, get it out now, do exactly as I say. And I love Drew Brees, but, like, Ben and Brees, if they would switch careers, both of them would have been so much worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were the same contemporary year. Ben didn't play that way. He would not have fit the Peyton system then. Wilson's more like Ben. You know,
I think Peyton looked at the roster and said, we're not close.
Oh, I think that's why he got hired. We're gonna make you an obscenely rich coach. You have all the power in the world.
Yeah.
He went out and got his lineman the first offseason, and they're paying the price.
But now they're blowing it up.
Now they're blowing it up.
Yeah.
Wilson trade killed them.
I think he came in, he looked at it and said, yeah, this isn't going to he gave it the year, basically.
He gave it the year.
And he says, you know what, this isn't gonna work. We're gonna get rid of Russell Wilson, we're gonna get rid of Justin Simmons, we're gonna they just blow all this guy. We gotta clear cap space.
So I can get my guys in here.
So I can get what I wanna do in here, because it's all about my system. He's one of those guys.
He's 100%.
Yeah.
He's 100% what he is. And Wilson doesn't fit it at all. And even he made little moves. He got like Troutman from the Saints and a couple of his dudes.
Little Jordan Humphrey.
Like that. And I think they're going to end up with Bo Nix, because Bo Nix will paint by numbers for him. You know, and it worked. I mean, it worked tremendously well with Drew Brees. You know, so Wilson's not a fit there at all. The Steelers historically have more leeway with ad-libbing, doing what you want. You know, we'll see how it works. But that was not a system fit at all.
No, so I just think that played more into a factor. Wilson wasn't good 2 years ago.
No.
But nobody would have been good 2 years ago.
That was a miserable
environment. That was a horrible marriage.
Yes. Oh, I think they was playing for an offense coordinator, not a head coach.
Yeah. Too.
And I think Wilson came in there by all accounts and thought he was better than he was. And, you know, I'm king of the castle here, and that's not the player he is now.
No.
You know, he's not.
And I don't think that the Steelers are going to be asking him to be the engine.
No. I think they're going to say, we need you to make six throws.
We need you to be a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
We need you to be what Roethlisberger was.
When he used to hand it to to Marshawn Lynch.
We need you to be late career Ben Roethlisberger here. Make us four or five big throws a game.
Yeah. Or early career Russ.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where he had his most success.
Right.
Hand the ball off with a good defense, make some plays. He won't make as many with his legs, the wow Mahomes plays that he did back then, but he's smarter now, too.
Yeah.
You know?
And he takes care of the football.
Cut down the sacks a little bit, throw in the middle of the field more than you have, still make those wow throws down the sidelines, know where to go with the football, don't turn the ball over.
You win a lot of games.
Yeah, yeah. Scramble for 20, 25 yards a game. We'll take it.
I mean,
it's a lot better than what they've got in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Throw for close to 30 touchdowns. Like, that's unheard of.
But I think that's the idea here. And so.
And I think they're going to try to get him his type of receivers.
Yeah.
You know, not that Deontay wouldn't be bad for any, would be bad for anybody, but I think they want bigger bodies that'll block, that'll go downfield and be physical, go up and get jump balls, you know?
Absolutely. We got to get to another break. That's going to do it for hour number one of the drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back for hour number two right after this.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.